Good morning again. It's wonderful to be with everyone today. Let me mention before we have our study that we have a class for children up to age 5. If any parents would like to take advantage of that, you can meet Lacey in the lobby at this time, and she'll be glad to help you with your child. Also want to remind everybody about the schedule for this afternoon, the neighborhood Bible studies. We have 4 classes scheduled, and if any of that information is incorrect, please let me know, but we have a class at the Townsends at 1:30, Steinman's and Hartman's at 4, and then at our house at 6 p.m., and anyone is invited to any of these studies. Just let the host know if you do plan to come, would be a good thing to do. But, you know, if you're really ambitious, you could go to the Townsends at 1:30, and then I guess you have to choose at 4, and then come out to our house at 6. That'd be great. And we're going to be studying in the book of Ruth, actually chapter 2 and a part, first 10 verses of chapter 3. And it's kind of the second part of this study, of this fascinating study of this book from the Old Testament. And we introduced it a few weeks ago, and I think it went well. And so we're going to study today about this relationship between Ruth and Boaz. And one of the big questions that comes up that I'm interested to see what other groups decide about this is, you know, what was really the nature of this relationship? Is it a romantic story, for example? And what does it teach us, if that is the case, about the male and female relationship? Maybe there's some lessons we can learn. But again, we encourage everybody to join one of these studies. You know, one of the greatest things about it is just being able to be together, and as well as study the Bible in a small setting like that. But to be together, and, you know, you can find the lesson there on the front of our website, or there's, I think, copies on the table. And so, even if not one of these 4 groups, you know, maybe do it at home with your family. But again, we'd love to have you join one of the 4 groups. If you're visiting, you know, you're included in this. Come out and study the Bible and get to know some of the Christians. And so everybody's invited to be a part of that. What I would like to do in the last few minutes we have this morning is I want to revisit this story of Mary and Martha. We spent a couple lessons earlier this year talking about Mary and Martha. And I want to review a few of the points that we made and then emphasize something that we didn't really talk about when we were going over it previously. And really what I think the story is about is making choices. And so if you look at this diagram, you know, we need to establish what our priorities are in life. And then we need to have the courage to make good choices based on our priorities. There are a lot of things, you know, pulling for our attention. To use the terminology from our story, you know, she was distracted by many things. She was worried and troubled. And so we have our priorities, and we know what God has told us to do, but do we have the courage to make good choices? And so to establish that point, I want to ask you to look at Proverbs 2 verses, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. This verse says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city." Now turn over to chapter 25 and verse 28. "He who has no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Now, what does this have to do with Mary and Martha? Well, again, it's the idea of standing up for our priorities. You know, we're not to become overcome by anger. We're to be disciplined in the way we live our lives. We know what is right, and we're to make good choices in harmony with our priorities. And he calls that ruling your spirit. Because there are other things that you know, want our attention and would tempt us to make less than, you know, great decisions as we live out our life. And so we need to make good choices. We need to be strong. We need to rule our spirits. We need to stand up for what we know is right and put first things first. So we have our priorities. Those should guide our choices. And really, that's what determines who we are today and what we will become in the future. That's why it's so important to make good choices. And I think Mary and Martha, you know, among other things, it's about priorities. What is really most important in life? Let's review this story, beginning in verse 38 of Luke 10. Jesus went to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part that will never be taken away from her. So Mary is listening to Jesus again, and Martha's serving, and she's all stressed out because Mary's just sitting there listening to Jesus, leaving her to do all of the work. And what Jesus says when Martha asks her to tell Mary to help her, you know, Jesus doesn't say, Mary, go help your sister. But what he does is he addresses his remarks to Martha. Martha, Martha. In other words, he says, you need to be more like Mary. You need to think about the choice that Mary has made, and perhaps that's what you should do as well. What I love about this little story is, it really shouldn't surprise us, but the fact that Jesus, he just chooses the perfect words to describe the situation, and I think to convict all of us about, you know, where our heart can wander to at times in our lives. I mean, look at what he says to Martha. You're distracted. You're worried. You're troubled. And again, this was 30 AD in a little town called Bethany, but I would suggest that's a pretty good description of what's going on in our lives frequently. We're distracted by so many things in this world, and we're worried and we're troubled about many things. We can be a lot like Martha. I spoke on this past Sunday morning in Alabama, and oftentimes when I've talked about this, maybe also when it's preached about it here, that you know, it's the ladies who come up and talk about how, you know, maybe they got something out of the lesson. And I think we sometimes think of this as a lesson for ladies. And it may be true, because we normally assume that Martha was involved in some kind of a domestic duty, you know, around the house, perhaps like preparing the meal or preparing a place for Jesus to stay. But I know I'm distracted by many things. And I think all of us men are distracted, and we're worried and we're troubled about many things. And so our mind isn't always where it ought to be. It's not just for men or for women. I think it applies as much to men as to women. You wouldn't say the parable of the Good Samaritan, because he was a man and all the characters were men, is only for men. And so we shouldn't think that this is only for women. But someone made a great point to me, and that is how there might be a unique lesson here regarding how we view women in the church. And that is, what if Martha was just doing what all the men told her you ought to be doing because you're a woman? And, you know, it's not that far-fetched to imagine that that could have been the case. I'm aware of a situation many, many years ago where a lady was sitting in on a Bible discussion that was predominantly men in someone's home. I imagine it was like after Sunday morning worship, they were getting ready for the meal. And she dared to interject a few thoughts. And one of the men said, shouldn't you be helping in the kitchen? And I think something like that's hard to get over. And you could imagine maybe that's what they were telling Martha on this occasion. I don't know. But here's a lesson, I think, for us men. We need to, you know, we all have our responsibilities, roles as men and women in the home. We need to fulfill whatever duties and responsibilities we have. That's very important to point out. But husbands and fathers, you know, we do encourage our wives to pursue Jesus and to maybe set some other things aside so that they can have time for Bible study. And our daughters, you know, to pursue Jesus and to spend time studying God's Word and not discourage that. I don't know if that's part of what contributed to the story here, but it's really not that far-fetched to think it is a possibility. But the other, you know, statement that's so pretty in this passage, and so, I mean, pretty is not the best word, but Jesus, he just has the perfect words, what he says to Martha. You know, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. It's a reminder that yeah, those other things, they're not bad, but really there's only one thing in life that really matters, and that is our relationship with God, knowing Jesus. And he says, Mary chose that good part. And we talked about how the word good is not just, you know, it's something that's good to do, but really it points to God. It's talking about ultimately good, holy, pure in its essence as God is. Domestic responsibilities, serving, cleaning the house, that's good. But there's something that's truly good, and that are the things that belong to God. And this is the greatest point. These are things that will never be taken away from her. Every physical thing, every, you know, matter concerning preparing the house, building the house, meals, having a nice, you know, place to stay, all that's going to be taken away. All that's going to be dissolved when Christ comes back. None of it's going to last forever. But when we sit down and we listen to Jesus and we think about his word and we invest our lives in people's lives, teaching them about God, those are things that are eternal, that have the potential to last forever and ever throughout eternity. And so that's what he reminds her. You know, there's one thing really that you need. And Mary chose the good thing, the thing that has to do with God, and it's something that will never, ever be taken away. Now let's turn over to John chapter 12, because we find Jesus visits this home again a little bit later in his ministry. And this is right before the beginning of the Passover week. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, who he had raised from the dead. And they made him a supper. And look at this. Martha is doing what? She's still serving. But Mary, verse 3, took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And then this very beautiful scene, in fact, it's so beautiful that in Mark's account, Jesus says what she has done will always be remembered wherever the gospel is preached. This will be recorded as a testimony to her. But you have this very beautiful scene, and what happens in the verses I didn't include there is that Judas speaks up and he says, why was this wasted? You know, this could have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. And so you have this very beautiful gesture on Mary's part. But then we see this very ugly attitude on the part of Judas. And Jesus says, let her alone. You know, she's done this for my burial. She's kept this for the day of my burial. He said, the poor you have with you always. But again, you know, isn't it interesting that really not much has changed? Martha is still serving. And Mary is not sitting at the feet listening this time, but she's worshiping Jesus now. And I think maybe a thought there is that it's tough to change our habits. Martha's still serving. Mary is, you know, falling down, worshiping Jesus, and giving him this great gift that shows how much she loves him. And so the question we ask is, you know, why did Mary have this different kind of relationship with Jesus? I mean, I think you could say it was a closer, a more meaningful, a more emotional relationship with Jesus. Martha's distracted still with serving. Just kind of oblivious to the fact that the Savior is there. But Mary's there bowing down at his feet, you know, and weeping and worshiping him. Why did she have that closer, deeper relationship with Jesus? Was it she just wired that way? You know, some people are born with it and others are not. Are some just naturally not as spiritual as others? Some people are more worldly. You know, you might look at our lives, our works, and say that that's kind of where we are today. But why are we that way? Was Mary just, you know, especially chosen and blessed by God with this grace to be a spiritually minded woman, and Martha was not? Well, I think the answer is back in the first scripture that we started with. And this is the word, another of those just beautiful words that Jesus chose, that I think says so much. And basically what it comes down to this is that, you know, Mary made a choice in the way that she lived her life. And we all have that ability to make choices. We can listen to God's word about what the priorities are, but we have to make choices as to the day-to-day decisions that we are going to make. And that's what it says. Martha chose. Martha could have been serving. Or Mary could have been serving. Martha could have been listening to Jesus. But each person made their choice. And I think that's why, you know, she understood Jesus better. And why she knew he was going to die. And why she just had to do something to show her love. It's because she had previously chosen to invest her time listening to Jesus. Instead of being worried and distracted with worldly things, she sat at his feet and she listened to him teach. You know, we can all make choices. We must every day of our life. We can choose to spend time in prayer every morning or to spend some time studying God's Word. And we can choose to resist temptations. We can choose to take advantage of the opportunities when Christians get together to study and to meet. We make decisions constantly throughout our day. We can choose whether or not to have a good attitude when we wake up in the morning, or to have a poor attitude and complain and be down. Or we can choose, you know, have an optimistic attitude. There's an old episode of the Seinfeld show where it had a guest appearance by Keith Hernandez. And Jerry and George, if you remember the show, they were all excited about, they had the opportunity to be friends with Keith Hernandez. And so Jerry told George, you know, he's a big history buff. And George said, I wish I could be a history buff. That's a typical George statement. What a silly thing to say. If you want to be a history buff, you can be a history buff, right? But you got to choose, you know, where you spend your time and what you devote yourself. I wish I could be a good Bible student. Well, you can be a great Bible student. You just have to choose to spend some time studying the Bible and maybe make that a regular practice. I wish I could have a more meaningful relationship with God. Well, it doesn't just happen. You have to choose to listen to Jesus, to spend time with Jesus, to think about his teachings, to pray to him. And so it comes down to the choices that we make in our lives. I want to look at another passage, and we'll conclude with this one this morning. But I think Jesus teaches a lot of the same principles in Matthew chapter 6, familiar passage. And he's telling us to choose spiritual things over worldly and earthly things. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, he's not talking about depositing money in a bank. We need to understand that. And it's not talking about the contribution on Sunday morning, though that might play into it at some point, but that's not what he's talking about. What does he mean to lay up treasures in heaven? I believe what he's talking about here is just how we choose to invest our time and our energy and our resources when needed. And he's saying, you know, focus on spiritual things. Devote your life to the kingdom of God. And probably more than anything else, what it's talking about is developing and building our relationships with people. You know, and including them in our spiritual conversation and doing what we can to encourage them and to point them closer to God. Investing our lives in spiritual things. And Jesus gives us, in this passage, three, I think, great reasons to do that. Number one, he commands us. It's just a commandment. Do not lay up treasures on earth. But he says you need to lay up your treasures in heaven. It's a commandment that we are given, that we need to devote our lives to a reasonable extent to spiritual things. We have duties, you know, that are related to this world. And we have to fulfill those, certainly. But where we have opportunity, we need to be zealous about the things of God. The second reason he tells us to do this is just the wise thing to do. Because if you look at it, he says, you know, anything you build for this world is just at risk. And it's going to be destroyed. There's moths and there's rust that will destroy it. And there are thieves who will break in and steal it. And when all is said and done, it's just going to be dissolved and burned up when this world comes to an end. And it goes back to what Mary did. You know, she chose the good part that'll never be taken away from her. When we focus on things of this world and we give all of our energy and attention to that, we're We're building something that might be good, might be nice, might be enjoyable, but it's about this world. And again, I'm not saying we can't have any hobbies or interests. You know, it might be something we do that we include our family in, and so it kind of bridges over, you know, into building those relationships. But we have to have, you know, a balance in our priorities and not just think about the world, is what Jesus is saying. And make an effort. You know, I hope that when we're done this morning, you'll try to think of some specific tangible thing that you can do, change your life, just a small minor bit, perhaps this next week, where you're going to devote a little more to treasures in heaven and maybe a little bit less to treasures on this earth. Because it's just very wise and practical advice. Working for this world is just going to be ultimately a disappointment because it's all going to be done away and not going to matter. And the things we do for God will last for eternity. But then verse 21 is the last reason he gives. He says, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I want you to notice that he's really explaining why we should do that. Lay up treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Or you could say, because, this is why you should do this. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm going to just stop for a moment before we conclude and think about what I believe that means. I think it's really easy to misread that verse 21. Just kind of glance over it and not think about it and just kind of walk away thinking what he's saying is, the things that we invest our life in, the things we devote our attention to, shows where our heart is. And you know, that is true. It does reveal what's in our heart, the things that we devote our life to and invest our life in and focus our attention on. So the choices we make show where our heart is. That is true. But that's really not what Jesus is saying in this passage. And what he is saying, I think, is something very, very important. He's telling us, he's told us what decision to make. And he says, lay up treasures in heaven. And our heart may not want to do that from time to time because, you know, this world is tugging on our heart. And there's so many things about this world that we're distracted by and allure us. And so it's not the easy thing to do, but Jesus told us what to do. And even if we don't feel it, he has commanded us, lay up treasures in heaven. And so that brings us to what he means. He says, if you do that, notice he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, you may not feel it at this moment, but if you do it, if you invest your life in this, if you invest your time in this, you know, if you spend more time studying God's word and doing spiritual things, he says eventually, you know, your heart is going to arrive at that place also. And then you will be a more rounded, you know, complete spiritual person, doing what you know is right and truly feeling that this is what you want to do. And I think that's a subtle difference, but I think it's a key point that we need to understand. And so let me give an illustration that might make it a little bit clearer. And I hate to distract from spiritual things with something as mundane as college football, but that's, you know, where everybody, you know, can relate, right? So I'll give an example. For the longest time, the team I hated, hate to use a word like that, but there's one team that I hate more than this team, but being from Mississippi, sorry, Arnold. Alabama was so good for so many years. It's really a compliment. But aside from Alabama was Florida State Seminoles. This was when we lived in California and Colorado. And the reason was because they also were so good. They were like in the top 10 every year for year after year after year. And they beat up on my favorite team, okay? And so I did not like them. I despised the Florida State Seminoles. Wasn't I like the Gators? That's not it at all. It was just I did not like the Seminoles. And then we moved to Florida. And then I hated them even more, okay? Because now I had to hear their fans constantly, you know, and I was surrounded by it. But then I sent my daughter to FSU. And, you know, suddenly everything changed. Kevin can probably relate to this with respect to Vanderbilt. I see him wearing a Vanderbilt jersey from time to time. Well, that's where he sent his daughter. You know, it says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, you know, Emily's kind of a treasure, but also my physical treasures to a certain extent. And so suddenly, you know, we start watching the games. You know, Emily's there, let's watch. And the whole scene, you know, the team, the fight song, the uniforms, you know, they kind of grow on you. And now, that's probably like my second favorite team. And so, you know, where your treasure is, the point is what you devote yourself to, what you spend your time and your attention on, the things that you work on are going to become more precious to you the more time you invest in those things. And that's really, I think, what Jesus is saying in this passage. You don't always feel it, but it's the right thing to do. And then if we do the right thing, he says, eventually it will become a huge part of our heart as well. And it just makes us, again, this fully rounded spiritual person who's, first of all, committed to doing what is right, but, you know, it becomes a part of their heart and their life as well. And so that's when we're complete, when we're doing what is right, because it's what we love more than anything else. But again, to be honest, we don't always feel it. It's not always in our heart. The world has this great tug. And so the idea is we need to make the good choices. We have our priorities. Jesus told us what to do. We know that spiritual things are most important in life. It's really easy to say that intellectually. We know it's true, but practically it's kind of tough to do. And so we got to make good choices. We've got to rule our spirits. He says a man who does that is better than he who takes a city in Proverbs. But he says if we don't do that, then we're like a city with broken down walls. We're just wide open for the enemy to come and take advantage of us. But we got to make good choices. And when we do that, that determines who we are, and it determines what we're going to be down the road by the choices that we make. And I think that's the lesson we get from Mary and Martha. And we need to be more like Mary in the way we live our life. Again, I just like to think about considering maybe one thing in your life, one thing you could do differently this week. Maybe it's spending a little more time in prayer or Bible study, or if you're not in the habit of joining some of the gatherings, maybe do that this week. Do a little bit more. Maybe talk to a friend and invite them to church. Or maybe look around us and see who's not been here for a while and send them a card. Or maybe invite someone you know to come and visit our church. You know, it'd be great if everybody thought of just one little tangible thing that they could do different, which would be laying up a treasure in heaven instead of maybe a treasure on earth. And, you know, this is the kind of person that God wants us to be. And we'll feel good about ourselves, like Jesus said. Our heart will follow along also as we make those choices. You know, one tangible choice that everybody has to make at some point in their life is to choose what they're going to do with Jesus and with the gospel that we talked about earlier that includes Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. We're going to sing one more song this morning. And if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we hope that you'll think about the choice that you've already made. To not accept his invitation, to not accept the gospel. But the good thing is you can choose differently, and we hope that you will choose to give your life to him. As always, we sing a song of invitation. If anyone needs the help of the church, we're here to help you. If you've never been baptized into Christ, you, of course, can do that today, or as soon as you decide you're ready to obey the gospel. If we can help anyone at this moment, we sing this song to encourage you and hope you'll come as we now stand and sing at this time.